Jesus, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning for your grace. Thank you for the wonderful time that we have in Christ Jesus, our Lord, Lord, in this day that we live in this age, in this last generation. We see, O Father, all that which is being coming to pass, O Lord, in the last couple of years, and we are seeing it unfold. Even at this time, Father, Lord, what's happening out there in the nations, O Lord, that thy word prophesied will come to pass, that the people will gather together, Lord, and come again Israel. And we are seeing all these things in the horizon, Father, coming to fulfillment of your scripture, Lord. And we know that when this thing comes to pass, and you have told us to lift up our eyes, for our redemption draweth nigh, Lord. And we know, Father, we are living in that time. A great expectation, O Lord, of your people, waiting for the coming of our Lord and our Savior, Lord. So we are grateful, Lord, for this day that we can still have this short period of time to find rest, O Lord, for our soul and our spirit, a little refreshment, O Father, in the Spirit of the Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for this, that we have a nation here that we can gather ourselves and worship you, Father, in peace, O Lord, and freedom, and without any persecution like many countries, O Lord, where it is hard for your people to gather. But we still commit them, O Lord, to your hand, that you bless them and keep them, Father, knowing that, Lord, it is the last day that we live in, and looking forward to the blessed hope that must come. And we thank you, Lord. So we ask for your blessing now, Father, as we look into thy word, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, we'll go straight and finish off with what we have for the remaining of this message. Let's go to the book of Romans, chapter 8, and we read from verse 35. All right. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? And as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Colossians 3:3. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Alright. Now, we are all prisoners of Christ. We'll be talking about the mystery of God's purpose. And we know that since God called, he must be able to fulfill it. If God called and ordained for something to happen, it will happen. And if he had called you to be his, part of his family, then he will fulfill that, to make you the way you should be. And that's why in one place, like Paul said, I'm a prisoner of Christ. If you are a prisoner of Christ, we should be fully surrendered to him. A prisoner, as I said, we all know, have no right. As in one place or in several places, Paul said, a bond servant or a slave servant to Christ. And we know that, of course, not every one of us are, in a sense, ministered to be a servant of Christ as to preaching. But we are all playing our part as servants of Christ. Is that right? You understand what I'm talking about? Because we are doing God's service. Because he wants us to work as a family. Now, as a family of God, it's not that father and mother, you know, like we are our own family, father and mother doing everything for the children. But the children have to play a part. Like a few days ago, and Zoe sent us a little video of Adam, you know, and he was a mop. He was taking a wet wipe to wipe his mat, play mat, you know. And then I was saying, wow, he was learning to wipe and clean the play where he play. And Zoe texted and said, I never even taught him to do it. He just do it. And the way he do it was because he copied. He copied what Zoe did. And you know what he sees, and then he will do it. And so this is part and parcel of family life. Whether we are sons or daughters of God, every one of us have a part to play in the family of God. And so we all learn by what God teaches us, what the example God set for us. And the example that God set for us, not only through the prophets and apostles of old, but all what he showed us in Christ Jesus as an example. Is that right? So now we are all, say that we are prisoner of Christ, and in everyday life, we are here not playing church. We are not here saying, yeah, we believe this or we believe that. And people say, what do you believe? Oh, I'm a Baptist or Methodist. And if you end that message, what do you believe? Oh, I believe the serpent seed, I believe this. It's not just saying I believe this or I believe that. But being that we are a little bright, we are now in this age now. This is the harvest time. This is the end time. I don't believe that there's going to be another age. Because the Bible ends with the seven church age. We are at the end of it. Is that right? So what are we doing now? What are we saying about believing this, believing that? The thing is that we know that the Bible says that we are to eat this book. We are to eat this book and to grow in His grace. And we are waiting. We are waiting for the coming of the Lord. This is the age where we are looking for that blessed hope. And we know that this is promised in the Bible. The promise of the ages, of the age, that is to say. And therefore we are watching for the return of Lord Jesus Christ. It will be one here, one day in every country. Here in Singapore we have a small island of 6 million almost. I don't know how many of the citizens of Singapore are going to make the bride, as you say, a call of God. And we know, do not expect that every Christian will go up in the rapture. Do not expect every believer who call themselves end time message people are going to go up. Because we see, for example, in the Bible, that is not going to be true. Because not everybody who call themselves believer are really believers. As the Bible already told us, as Paul said, well, he said, yeah, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, of the tribe of Benjamin, I'm this and I'm that. Okay, but he considered himself down. He said, no, all Israel are Israel. We must understand that. Because God is looking for the true Israel. Not because you are born a Benjamin, or you are born of the tribe of Judah, or you are an Ephraimite, you know, or a Levite. It doesn't mean anything. A Jew cannot say, my son in my family name ends in Cohen. So what? So because you are from a tribe of Levi, you think that you have a place? No. You see. And don't just say, I'm a Christian, therefore I have a place in the rapture. Don't say that. You need to know. Let me say this for example. Brother Abraham said this. You look at the Bible verses, many places in the Bible. It talks about healing. It talks about divine healing. It talks about God healing the sick. Is that right? And all we need to have is one verse in the scripture that we can claim about divine healing for ourselves. Right? Isn't it? But yet, as Abraham said, you know, we don't even have enough faith to be healed. Much to say that, how can we have faith for the rapture? Isn't it so? Right enough. So now, if you have the revelation, if you take one verse of scripture for healing, one verse out of the whole Bible, one verse, you can believe in it, what Jesus said, what God said, and you have the faith, you will be healed. But yet one verse for us to even believe and to say we have faith, yet it is not working. Why? So what about the rapture? The rapture don't take one verse, huh? Oh, there you see the Bible says, in the moment, particularly I'll be changed and all these things. It's not like this. Because for you to be raptured, it takes the whole Bible. Because we're living in the age when the mighty angel came down with the book open in his hand. Remember? And John was told to eat. It will be sweet in your mouth, but bitter in you. Bitterness is good for you because God is walking. God doesn't want you to take one verse here and that's it. I take this verse. Yeah, this one I take. Don't be like the denomination. This is not important, that is not important. No. Every word of God is important to us. So how do we grow thereby? How do we grow them? It is the word that we need to eat. That's why the whole volume of book. That's why I always emphasize this wherever I preach. You need to have this whole book. Don't bypass a little portion that is not important, that is not important. When God opens our eyes to see what is truth, we better hold on to it. If we do not understand, don't worry about it, because God will unfold it to you. And once He unfolds it to you and opens your eye to see, then you better hold on to it. You understand that? God will not blame you. God will not judge you because you do not know things. But He will judge you when you are part of it and He has shown it to you and you reject it. There's one, remember this, there's remain no more, you know, place for sin, for repentance anymore. Like Judas Iscariot, he has sinned this, he has sinned that. His eyes were open, taste of the heavenly thing. Then he backslid off, right? What does Paul say over in the book of Hebrew? People are taste of the heavenly thing and all this, they backslid. What happened? That remain no place for repentance. And it's scary, you know what I'm saying? Because God's word is life. If He has given you that to taste it and enjoy it, and then you reject it, what else is there? What else is there? Judas found no place for repentance. What about Esau? Huh? For one bowl of porridge, he sold his birthright. What do you think? What do you think the blessing is? Even he doesn't get nothing. It goes all to Jacob. Is that right? You see? And to this day, Esau, the Edomite, they mix with all the Ishmaelites out there. And they all join all this wild group too. But there is always a fraction of them. They understand. So let us remember this, that we are prisoner of life, of Christ. So we do not say that we have rights. This world is always filled with rights. This right, I have the right. Even to this day, you know, people are still attacking Singapore. Even after Lee Kuan Yew died, they are still attacking Lee Kuan Yew. They are so full of things to say about Lee Kuan Yew. There was a man who was a journalist who his name is Graham Allison. Just a few last week, I think, or early this Monday or Tuesday, he wrote an article comparing, it is called a Lee Kuan Yew conundrum. You see, he was comparing about the democratic system America compared to Singapore. You know, they want the freedom. But he said, what have freedom brought to USA? Huh? But look at Singapore. They have the democratic society, their system. At least it works. And they call him, Lee Kuan Yew, a dictator, you know, autocratic and all sorts of names. We all have freedom. You as a Christian, you have freedom. But what the Bible said, when the Spirit of God is there, liberty. What does liberty do to you? Does liberty allow you to do anything you want? So, I'm a Christian. It's all right. I can do this. I will do that. I still get to heaven. So liberty is not like this. Liberty is in Christ Jesus. Liberty is not in our self-will, you know, to do what we want. No. Especially if you want to make the bride. And I'm talking about making the bride. We are living in a generation that a sea of people are living people that will not die. Those that die and pass us, those who are making, those who will make the bride, those that died and gone, they will come out in the bride. Huh? If I should die today, in my sleep or in my office. I'll make them right. But I'm talking about being that we are living. We want to get out of this world because what is to come? We look at the Middle East today. Look at that mess out there. Israel is fed up with all that going on with the Iran and nuclear agreement and all that stuff. I was looking at my paper today. They have spent so many hours, many of them even sleep. And what comes out of it? Nothing. They're going to have more talk. A second round of talk. No matter what they talk, Israel is going in. I can tell you this. We're not far from it. America is a dirty country. And that's what the Bible talks about, what's going to happen to America. You find that in the end of the book of Revelation, America no longer exists. Brother Abraham said it was destroyed, right? You all know that, don't you? America stood to their bones and said, we have the greatest, the strongest superpower in the world. Military might, nobody could challenge us. Really? And someone sent a news to me, and I sent it to you folks in the email. All Russia have to do is fire all the missiles in one place. What's that place? Yellowstone. And you know what's under Yellowstone? A cauldron of volcanic lava boiling underneath. So if that thing blows up, just imagine. So you know, as Brother Branham said, I wonder, you know, the visions of Brother Branham. I no longer pray for America. America is fallen. And he did indict the German for crucifying the Word of God. And if the Christian, the churches in America are supposed to be the fortress, the strength behind a nation. And you know what? Bible talks about praying for the nation. If the Christian cannot even live that life and accept the world, when they reject the world, what else is there? A Christian country is known by the strength, not in might of military, it's by the faith, by knowing what the word is. Look at King David. Look at Gideon. It's not in in quantity of soldiers, 3,000, no, only 300. God narrow it down. You see. So this is all about the Word of God. So while we are waiting here, well, let us come to the place here. We are a small little fellowship here. There's always a problem. Every church has its own problem. So let us learn to esteem another brother or sister better than us. So there should be no more jealousy, no more hatred, things like that. Oh, but we're going to make mistake. How many times do you make mistake before you stop making that mistake? Can we discipline ourselves? That's one thing I talk about is discipline. Self-discipline. All you have to do is to sit down, meditate about your life. Your life as a student. Whether you're high school, college, or in a you. How you live that life as a student. Meditate on how you behave as a worker. You're employed now, you have a job. What do you do every day? How you behave, that's a habit, a ritual that you perform. You know right? Next, think about yourself as a Christian now, as a believer of the Word of God. How do you behave? That's the thing you need to consider. Because why? God is looking now upon us. Either we place the kingdom of God, which is within us, first, or do you place yourself first? Or your career first? Yes. You see, people like Lee Kuan Yew, people admire him for one thing. He's very disciplined. And what he thinks of is not for himself. He thinks for the citizens of Singapore. He doesn't think for the few. He thinks for the majority. And you see that in the Bible of great men. The same. What do you think about your life? You are a prisoner of Christ. So think like one who is a prisoner. Yield to the captor. Because he has to say. When you are in prison, when they say, time to get up, you get up, right? In a prison, you don't have a choice. Eat means eat, play means play. Goes into the cell, you go into the cell. That's it. You know. So the same thing with us. So big mistake. Come on, how many months do you, before you overcome it? And then you do it again. Can we discipline our life as a Christian, as a child of God, as a believer? Huh? Can we? It's so difficult. You know, now in Israel, there is a group of Kohens. You know Kohens? The name Kohens means they are from the tribe of Levi. There are those men getting ready to do the sacrifice because they are looking forward to the temple to be built. They are practicing how to go through that ritual with the blowing of the silver trumpet, slaughtering of the lamb or the goat, the sacrifice, how to roast it. They are ready, they are known, the Messiah is coming back for them. That's why they are looking forward to that. And now they are disciplining themselves to rehearsing that. Wonderful. And we are living actually at the edge of the closing now. Ending up of the church age. And God will turn himself, taking the gospel to the Jew. You know that? Yes. Look at it. So we need to overcome. And don't keep on doing it again and doing it again and doing it again. Because why? First of all, we are predestinated. If we are predestinated to fulfill the words of God, then there should not be any excuse. Is that right? Is it not true? Yes. I mean, we failed one time, we failed two times, yes. Lord, strengthen me. Now, then you discipline yourself. Don't go to the same stage of being too lax and relaxed and easy, and then you fail to walk your life as a Christian, as a child of God. So now, remember what the Bible says, faith. Work is faith expressed. As James said, show me your faith, and I show you my faith with my works. Correct? He said, you have faith. James said, I show you my faith with my works. It means that I discipline myself, I do that which was right, because I know the faith is real. So I exercise that faith. Isn't it true? So all it takes is doing what God wants us to do. So don't let us not break the, you know, the word of God again and again. And some people say very common, say, oh, Brother, pray for me, please. Yeah, I have talked to those on Skype, overseas, many of them. And some of them have this attitude, yeah, Brother, please pray for me. No, yeah, I talked to them about their, you know, their failure to do that which is right as a Christian. Yeah, yeah, brother, I'm so weird. Yeah, I really am. I'm lazy. You know, I have. I'm so stressed out, and I forget. And please pray for me, brother, again. Now, it's not you asking people to pray for you. What you do is you pray for yourself. You're gonna need to go down on your knees and you pray. You need to pray for yourself. Else, how is it gonna work? You need it. Because why? Your senses are still carnal. And carnality is not good. Alright? Now, we have the believers in the church. I pray that every one of us here, you know, who say they are believers, that we are all genuine believers. Every one of us. That we are genuine. We are not impersonated. Because here we are not here to
to please anyone. We're here to please God. We're here because we want to worship God. And then secondly, we want to fellowship. And thirdly, we want to learn. And this is what it is all about. You know. And an individual walk. I cannot save you. The only way I can save you is to show you what the Word of God says about salvation, about your life as a child of God. How to get ready. The first time when I read what Brother Abraham said or heard him preach about Satan being worshipped every Sunday. And Brother John, you heard, read Satan being worshipped every Sunday. The churches are all out there on Sundays, open door, people go in there, worship God. Do they really worship God, or is it a ritual that they go through? You know, they're going through a certain ritual, certain confession. And some churches are so common, they will always pray the Lord's Prayer. Because it's just a ritual thing. Is that right? Yes. You know. And if you go to charismatic today, many of these denominational churches today, you get a lot of pep talks. You know, not deep things, not things that opens your eye and hurt you inside. You hear a lot of blessing. About God's blessing. About God's blessing. Have you ever heard people preach about God's rebuke on you? Nobody likes that. But we need to open up to the Word of God. God only just blessed. But before He can bless you, He must rebuke you. Open your eyes to your weakness. Look at what the Bible said concerning Moses taking the children of Israel, spending all those years, 40 years out there in the desert. Then after that, he passed his baton to Joshua. But before he passed that, he sent 12 spies, one of each tribe of Israel, across the river Jordan to spy out the land of Canaan. Now we all know the story very well. 12 spies went in, all came out, and carried with them huge bunches, clusters of grapes and pomegranates and what sort of fruit they could carry. Right? And people look at them coming by across from Canaan land and saw them carrying all these large clusters of fruits. And they were rejoicing. Now they are each and every day have to give a report. But you know the story, huh? What happened? Ten of the 12 spies said, yeah, the land is rich. Yeah, it's very rich. But there are huge men out there. Giants out there. We can't take that. We are to them like grasshoppers. I mean, it's so exaggerated. You know what I mean? They could just squash you with their feet. But Joshua and Caleb, only two, they believed the word of God that we can take the land. Why? What made them so sure they can take the land? After all, they were puny people. They were not warriors. They had been slain in Egypt. And they left Egypt by walking out there in the desert for 40 years till all those who are 20 and above died out. And these are young generation. They are not fighters. Is that not true? They are not warriors. Just imagine them. They were never trained in archery. Never trained in how to have sword fight. Yes. And they said, we can take that. What made them so sure? What made Joshua and Caleb so sure they can take the land? And those 10 of them said, you're nuts. Did you see them? They were not even warriors. They were armored. Big shield. Big sword. But they believe you can take it. All because of what? All because of the word of God. Because God said it. God will do it. Not because you can do it. It's because God will have to fulfill it. It takes somebody to believe it. All it takes for God is somebody to believe it, and He will fulfill it. Because He said it. But if nobody believes, they won't cross the river of Jordan over to Canaan land. And the land of Canaan will still be there. Huh? So you see, Joshua believed, not because he's strong. He said, no, I'm not afraid to die. No, he's not boasting of this. He said, because God said so, we can take it. You know what? God is going to make things possible. Just think, huh? Just think about it. Can you believe? What is coming? What the blessed hope is coming. The change of the body is coming. Can you believe it? You see, all you have to do is believe it, and God will do the rest. Because He said it. It's not because, yes, I can change. I know my body will change. It's not because you brag about it. All you have to do is that God said it. I believe it. He got to do it. Listen, He said it, I believe it, so be it. It works. He said, as I said, we are God's workmanship. It's God's mystery. The mystery of His purpose to have a people to fulfill His word in your life and my life. Wow. That's why God, it's not about us trying to do God's a service to make God's prophecy work. You can't make it work, you know. It will work by itself because God has to fulfill what He said. When He said He's going to change the people, if you don't believe it, it's not for you. It's for those who believe it. And that's why Joshua said, we are able because we are predestinated. God said it, He predestinated it, so we're going to be there. The land's going to be given to us. God says, so we're going to have it. Because somebody's going to fulfill it. Now we know that in the Bible, lots of things being said about the Antichrist, the false prophet, false Christ, you know right? About those that will persecute the brothers, and so on and so on. Okay? So when we see things that are happening, we know these people are fulfilling what the scripture says. You know, it is not because God is forcing them to fulfill it, but because God already knows that somebody, these people will fulfill it. Now every one of us, we all came to the world born in sin. What has Shakespeare said? All the world's a stage. I always remember this, because I studied Shakespeare on that. All the world's a stage. All men and women are merely players. They have their exit and their entrances. And all men in his lifetime, plays many parts. Right? We all play many parts. From childhood, to boyhood, to adulthood, to professionalhood, to old agehood, to dyinghood. They're all stages, bro. Okay? But you know what? But because we are playing that. Because it's already, God knows. Men are sinners, this is what they will play. They will play the way. Correct? But the moment that when we came into the Lord Jesus Christ, you understand? The world's stage is no more for me to play as I, as a sinner, will play. But now the whole world stage changed. I'm not going to come in, I'm a certain age, every certain age, in my lifetime, if I'm not a Christian, this is the part I will play. But when I came into Christ Jesus, you know what? Then I'm a prisoner of Christ. I'm surrendered to Christ Jesus. So now He is manipulating and guiding me to play a part that is no longer that which I was supposed to do. Are you following me? He changed my path to play a different play. To be a different actor. Do you understand? Oh, when I grew up, the time being, when I was young in school, I wanted to be, you know, a doctor or a technician or something. But you know what? When I served the Lord here, things changed. Because I was heading to what I want to do. But God changed it. So I'm being guided by the Spirit of God to do something now away from what my original part supposed to be. Do you see? So God is changing your life. So when we talk about prison of Christ, what Colossians 3:3 said? For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. So you are a prisoner, now you play a new part. That's true. Go to Galatians. Go to Galatians here, chapter 2, verse 20. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Are you crucified with Christ? Because the day that you accept the Lord, the day that the Lord show his grace to you, his mercy to open your eyes, and you give your life to him, and you become a prisoner because you surrender to him, huh? When I say you give your life to him, means you surrender. That's what Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ live in me. Now Christ is directing my path. You understand? Not the carnal man anymore. Oh yeah, there's still that, as the Red Indian chief said to Brother Branham. After he became a Christian, you know the story. Simple story. You know, Brother Branham says, what happened? Now that I'm a Christian, I have this problem with a black dog and white dog fighting in my head. And Brother Branham, I think he probably laughed a little laugh. He said, then you ask him, who wins? Which one wins? The black dog or the white dog? The Red Indian said, chief said, if I feed the white dog wins. If I feed the black dog wins. And that is true. But he doesn't have this problem before he was a Christian, because all he had is a black dog. All he do is feed the black dog. Is that right? Yes. Your life, when you are on your own before Christ, you do whatever you want. But now when Christ lives in you, there is the two dynamics. And which dynamic do you want to really be in full control of your life? If you say that you are a prisoner of Christ, I'm crucified with Christ, and you're crucified with Christ, then you are no longer your own. You need to have the dynamic of the Spirit of Christ to pull you, to guide you. And you know, as long as we are in this flesh, you've got no control over in this flesh. Unless you give that life, this flesh, and surrender it to Christ Jesus. Huh? Because this flesh is always touching the five senses. The five senses are plain. Right? You see? And you smell? And you want to touch? And you want to taste? Huh? After hearing what people said about this thing, about that, all the five senses will come to play. And the five senses, all these five senses operate at one time. Oh my, to many people it's like heaven. You don't believe me? Anything you want, you not just say you see, but bring all your five senses into play by eating, just eat durian. Huh? Give me a good example. Can you bring the five senses as you eat the durian? You're five different, just to say, nice taste. Just go into the five senses. Hear how people say about the durian. Hear it. Smell it. Look at the texture. Feel it. Taste it. You fire the five senses all operate together at one time, you go into an ecstasy. And so that's why this body is corrupt, because it's only centered on five senses. The five senses of the flesh, to satisfy the flesh, the body. And remember this, you are a soul to begin with. You are a living spirit to begin with. You are a living soul in a body, and not a body with a soul. Right? The body is only to touch what's in this world, because you're only temporary here, going through a pilgrimage. You know. That's why. So I suppose I'm crucified with Christ. Christ leads me. And he said, I know, I'm able to perform it. Exactly what he requires. Because what? He's going to shape it. Abraham, remember when God called him and promised him the land and said that he would be a father of many nations? What did he believe in? And when he believed in it, he knew that God is able to perform it exactly. All you have to do is believe. You can do it exactly the way God wants you to do. All you have to do is believe. So Abraham did nothing, just believe. Until the day come, was able to do it. Why? Because God changed his body. Sarah was not able to do it because of all. Because Abraham believed in it, so God bless her, change her body too. God required that she do exactly what God intended, to bring forth the promised son. Now, we are in this body. You know what? God promised that Jesus Christ will come back for you and me. The promised son is going to return. Like God promised Abraham a promised son. And he's got to change his body. But before Christ comes, this body of ours needs to be changed. Our mind, everything, the center needs to be changed. Open up to the spiritual thing. You know, Sarah, of course, wasn't a believer, as I said. You know, she found it very hard to believe what Abraham was saying. But the day when God visited Abraham, and when God said that to Abraham about in the season of life next year, this season of life, you will have a son. Now when Sarah heard it, she laughed. She think it was a joke. And the Lord heard it. So what did Sarah laugh? Now it was at the moment in time that I believe Sarah realized it. This was not just a mere man out there. But she was in the tent just loving. She wasn't loving lovely. And God heard it. You know your thoughts. We don't even have to speak. Our thought is even louder than what we say. God knows what we are thinking. See? So, you know, God perform it. John 14. 20. Yep. I'm able to perform exactly what he requires. My body will change. I'm going to follow through. Keep walking in the Lord. And I know one day I'm going to have a body change. Right? You all know that? How many believe it? You believe it? Yes. You keep asking, how do you know it's going to be true? Well, let me see what the Bible said. John 14, verse 20 to 23. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that have my commandment and keep them, he it is that love me. He that love me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Jesus said unto him, that is not Iscariot. Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, He will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. You see in verse 22, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? You know, when Jesus said that in the days, you know, you beloved, keep my commandment, and you will know that I am my Father in me, and I in you, and you in me. And they were thinking that Jesus was talking about revealing himself to the disciple, perhaps as an apparition. You know, not in reality. Just like the time when they were in the room, they closed the window, they closed the door, and Jesus came and thought there was some spirit. Jesus said, no, touch me. You know, not an apparition, they're probably thinking something like that. But Jesus was talking about reality, manifest myself to you. Now, even right now, in this day that we know, Jesus said, and that day you shall know that I am in my Father in me, and I in you, and you in me. That when he's talking to the disciple, it is real because it is a spiritual life. Jesus came into our life and revealed himself to us. Right? Yes. So how do I know that I'm going to make it? How do I know? Because Jesus said that he is in me. The Father is in me. Huh? So if he is in me, he must change. He must do something in my life. And that's why if he's real in me, I discipline myself to walk in the light that he asked me to walk in. And this is the hour that we have the light. When we are in the darkness, you can't see. I can't see. And the world today is filled with darkness. And it wasn't for God's word that lights up our life and the pathway for us to walk in, we'll still be blind. You know the religion is blind today? Very, very blind. What we discussed on Friday about the religious city. What did we discuss about? How that people who are religious can turn around what they have believed in and even go against the truth. Just to maintain their ritual. Just to hold on to their tradition. That's so scary. We are seeing it happen, not just in denomination, but in the entire message. Look at the Pharisees, the chief priests. When they think Jesus got to be crucified, Pontius Pilate judged, I found no fault in this man. You take him and you crucify him. What did they tell Caesar? Or what did they tell Pontius Pilate? We have no king but Caesar's. Whoops. And if any man, this Jesus, call himself a king. And we brought him to you so that you put him to death and you won. You want to release him? That means you are against Caesar. But as far as he's a king, you say he's a king. No, we have no king but Caesar. How is that so? They are Pharisees. They are chief priests. They are Jews. They have the faith. Why? How could they say such thing like that? That we have no king but Caesar. Really? What are they trying to please? Was it not to please Caesar? Please the Roman governor? Please, Pontius Pilate. What are you pleasing today? Look at the entire message. What are they pleasing? The majority of those who call themselves the entire message say what the prophet said. His word is absolute. Are you on the side of your birthright? People who believe in the entire message so much about all this Branhamism. They don't realize how much they have done damage to the word of truth. And they come into that spirit of religiosity.
That's what I call it.
You hold to a religion, your tradition, your ritual. Who saved you?
Huh?
Is it the Southern Church's messenger, or is it the messenger of the covenant? When I was sharing a video on Friday about the thing that is going on the website, Believe the Sign. And I was talking to Brother Coladi, the natural brother doctor who was working in Perth, Australia, about what was going on out there of these people who were years in the message, 12 years, 10 years, and then all of a sudden they reject the truth and start attacking Brother Bram, attacking the message. And lately it's been on the website all about what Sister Gordon Lindsay, the wife of Brother Gordon Lindsay, who was the manager of Brother Bram's crusade, wrote a book about or testament what happened in the early life of Brother Bram, what Brother Bram said and things like that, and what was said about Brother Bram's death, about Kenneth Hagin came into Gordon Lindsay's room office and said, "The Lord showed me that he's going to take in death, the leader of the movement, because he has entered into error." It's on the website, but already I knew it back then. And I have all the letters still kept in my file. I wrote to Kenneth Hagin. He refused to give me a direct answer. All he had was wrote me a piece of paper about this size, like from a notepad. You tear it up and he scribbled to me. I asked him, praying, "How did God show it to you? How did God show it to you about Brother Abraham taking in death and about his death?" He just scribbled it and says, "For this you have to ask Sister Anna Sardara. She has the detail." I says, "Whoops. You are the one who prophesied. How why do you refer to me to a sister who was a prophetess?" So I wrote to Sister Anna Sardara Chaos, Brother Gordon in his office. And what then? Brother Gordon Lindsay did not answer. It was the wife who was in the office, saw the letter and replied to me. He said, "Oh, because Brother Abraham, Sister Anna Sardara was not well, he's sick, not able to answer your letter, but let me just tell you that Brother Abraham, because he believed in the Trinity and he baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Strange. I wrote back, and this time Brother Gordon Lindsay got my letter. So no, it's nothing wrong about baptism in Jesus' name. So now there's a confusion between one person said this, one person said that. It's about that Brother Abraham claimed that he was the messenger of the covenant. I said, "Whoops, where did that come from? Did Brother ever claim he was the messenger of the covenant?" And then I ceased corresponding. I was wondering why it was kind of hugging. God in himself said, even in the testimony of his wife, writing this book now, I mean, the book being published already, that God in himself said that kind of hugged him into his office and said that God is going to take the leader home in death because he entered into hell. When I wrote him, what does he tell me? What does he write me and reply and said, or did he answer and said, "Yes, this is what the Lord showed me, this. No! For detail, our sister Anna Sardara. Seems like a conspiracy. What is this? Can you speak the truth? When somebody said, "How did God show it to you?" Simple, isn't it? If it was true, how come he has a part in it and not so that play in his prophecy? There must be talk between two of them or something, or discussion of something. Because why in the first place? Brother Branham was told, it was said that they told Brother Branham, "You are the prophet, you cannot teach, you should not be teaching." Brother Branham says, "I want to be a teacher. I want to teach rather." So you see, he got the problem, he got the error. believing false doctrine because he wants to be a teacher. So all these things come about. But why don't you tell the truth? How God showed you that he taught the prophecy? How God showed it to you? Simple enough. What is there to hide? That's what I talk about religion. It's always some dirty lies behind. Because there is politics in religion. Don't forget that. Right? And the biggest politician in religion is the Pope. But he's not afraid to do it openly. Huh? But all those that I know of who try to accuse me of this and that, all do it behind my back. Why don't you come out and tell me straight to the face? And even when I tell you the truth, they go around saying, "Glory to him, but he can't lie." He don't want to say that he was the it messenger. And when Brother Branham says, "You know, I make mistakes," and they say, "No, Brother Branham may make mistakes." So you know, they twist the world around to suit what they want. Brother, we need to rise up. And we must take the word of God, just like Joshua and Caleb said, "Rise up, we can take the land because we are predestinated. God said it, God is going to make the way because that is his purpose to give us the land. He's going to make us take the land. Don't think because we are small, we are puny, but because God said so, and so forth, he must fulfill it." So we can rise up. Isn't it so? As the Bible said, in Zechariah chapter 4 verse 6, I think you know that. Famous verse, Zechariah chapter 4 verse 6. What does it say? "Not by might, not my power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." Not by your strength, not by the army size, no! But by my spirit. God don't need 3,000 soldiers to fight against the Philistines. He told Gideon, "Oh, that's too many. Let everyone go and drink from the water. And I'll tell you who to pick." You know. But before he did that, he had told Gideon, "Tell them those who, you know, need to want to go home, go home. Go family, take care, go take care of the family, you know." And some of them laughed, yes. But there's still too many. So finally go drink from the river. And this is the way God tells them. You know how God tells them is God's way, huh? Karana. I mean, get up, Bob, they wonder why. Okay. "Oh, you said you want to fight, go to water and drink now." So there are those that went and drink, and then those who put the sword down by the side and drink from the two. Use a hand and cup the water out from the river. And God said to Abraham, "Get up, that one, pick him up." Huh? But the one who holds the sword by his side and drink with one hand, God said, "Take the one." Why? The soul must always be ready to fight, even as you feel your thirst or quench your thirst. You must always have the sword in your hand. And this is the time where we must always hold the sword in our hand, even as we drink from the water of God's word. Amen. All right. So now we ask the reason why did Paul act the way he acted now? Go to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 again. Galatians chapter 2. Alright. Verse 20. "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." True enough, it's not all about your work. Remember? It's not that you want to do God a service. It is God doing a work in your life. God is working a work in your life. All you have to do is believe. Oh. You see? Because the work of God is in you. But regardless of wherever you are, whether you're caught in the cold or whatever difficulty, you know what, when I was on a plane, every time I take on a plane, do you know that today when you travel on a plane, there's high chances of death? Because there's all kind of crazy things happening in the world today. Isn't it true? Yeah. You go on a plane, you either the pilot takes you to your destination, or else your destination, I mean the place where you were supposed to land, or the pilot takes you to your destination of death, or on board maybe a terrorist who want everybody also to die. So there are three chances. Or rather say one out of three that you will land. Okay? But when I was on the plane all the time, I just leave everything to the Lord, because why I've gone on a mission. You know? So I just go on. No fear about it. See? So we just have to trust. Though I have seen many near miss when I was traveling. The plane could have caught fire because we were leaking fuel. And a crazy pilot on one time in the Ethiopian airline, landing in a way that instead of going line up to the runway and land, he just make a steep turn, and I was looking at the wing of the plane on the left. He make a turn and then just let it land like this, straight up. And the left wing of the plane almost touched the tarmac. You just imagine if you hit the tarmac, you know what happened? The plane will flick. It's just a crazy pilot. Well, so our life is God's hand. But God wants me to live, I'll live. Is that right? Yes? You know. Alright. Go to Acts 16. Acts 16. You see, even here, you look at this case where in Troas, okay, where Paul was there, and there was a certain woman, this Lydia. In verse 14, it's seller of purpose and all that. And in verse 16, and it came to pass, as Luke wrote this, he says, it came to pass, we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her master much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, Christ, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out at the same hour. Now, though it is true that even as Paul and the servant, the apostle walking down ministering the word of God, this woman was a soothsayer, was speaking the truth. But it was the spirit of divination that was prophesying. Though it was the truth, it's a vexation of soul. Because God doesn't have to have his servants. I mean, today they're doers. You know, people will go around saying, oh, we have, you know, like campaigning in election. Vote for so and so, vote for so and so. Advertise all about him, got this degree, that degree, great man, great man. So we know the point as all the apostles, they were servants of God. But God don't have to advertise them. You know what I mean? You see. So he was contrary to the word of God, so he had to be put to a stop. Alright, so because we are all prisoners, we are veiled in Christ. So let's go to 1 John 3:9. Alright, let's go to 1 John 3:9. John 3:9. Whosoever is born of God do not commit sin, for his seed remain in him, for he cannot sin because he is born of God. You know, this is kind of caused a lot of people to misunderstand this verse. I'm a Christian, I do not commit sin. That's not what it means. You know, Christian, oh, but I always fall into sin. I make mistake, I fall into sins, but I do not commit sin. So then we know the commission, then you fall into sin, what's all that? And even Paul joined another place, if he said we have not sinned, we are liar. Huh? So what he's trying to say, that we as Christians do not commit sin. We don't go commit sin. Yes, we may fall because of temptation when we are drawn by our lust. And that's why we need to safeguard that. You know what I'm saying, huh? You don't go to places where even angels fear to tread. Now, you know, today we have, in this generation, we have a lot of smart young ones, like what you see in the paper regarding this Moses Yi, what? Is it Amos Yi or what? Moses Yi? Amos Yi. Yi, right? Oh, what happened to this guy? I couldn't believe him when I saw what his articulation, his smart, he talks. His grammar is very good. Very well, you know, he's great. He articulate what do you call it? Great orator. You know what I mean? If you put him on the debate team, he probably will win the debate. He's the giver of the gap. I'm smart in my grammar. I'm good in my sentence construction. I speak very well. Some people are like this because they think they are very smart. They don't realize how smart they are for their own good. And so I couldn't believe that. And we are living in a generation like this where young people, they think that they are smarter than their parents. And it's scary. And the Bible talks about this last generation is more evil, more wicked. And will get more wicked and more evil. You see a lot of things happening right now in the report. Young people do crazy things. Anyone who gets young lady is going to join the ISIS. Why? No brainer. What happened? Because we are living in the age where the Bible said it will become more evil. Evil will rise more, the world will get more wicked. And that's when the Bible said when sins abound, the grace of God will do much more abundantly in our life. Yes? It's scary to read all this thing that is happening. But it is happening. Alright, so now when we read here, yes, you know, God would not impute sin upon us when we are overcoming. And the Bible said, in every age, he'd overcome, right? Overcome. And God would not impute sin on us if we are overcoming. But if we are not overcoming, sins will always be there. You know? God knows that we will fail when we overcome and that temptation come and draw us. But how many times do we keep on falling into? If it's not lust that is drawing us towards it. Huh. But we know we can walk above it. We can overcome it because God said so. God is working in our life to make us overcome because He's going to rebuild us, He's going to chastise us because we have a choice. 2 Timothy. And we have chapter 2. Verse 15. So study to show thyself approved unto God. Or what man that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study. First of all, you hear. Now, study is one thing. Eh? Before you study, you must first hear, then study. Hear the word of God, because faith comes by hearing. Then you study to back it up. And then what? Huh? What do you do when you study? Study to be quiet. That is true, you know. When you think the Bible, you study to be quiet. Examine your life. You see, how do I overcome? Yes, with the Word. You meditate. How? The Lord will teach me. Teach you. I mean, the Lord teaches us every time. God is still teaching me a lot in my life. Every one of us have weaknesses here and there. If you are stingy, give. If you do not know how to laugh, laugh. Just laugh. You know. If you are unfriendly, be friendly. Things like that. Yeah, I know, but some people say, but I'm an introvert. What's an introvert? If you're an introvert, let's say for example, I'm always housebound. I don't like to go out. So you don't go out? Now they realize you're sitting at home, you're sitting at four walls in the house, and now you need to relax, go out. Oh, I'm lazy, I'm not the kind of person who like to exercise. So you sit on the table, look at your computer. What do you exercise? Exercise your eyes. Exercise your hand, and then what? You get all this cramp up problem. You better get out and do exercise. You better move. And I think that's one thing we all need to understand. Why are we having this problem of pain and all that? It's because we don't move. And I learned from that years ago. When everything was so cramped up until I fainted because it was so terrible. Because the muscle was so tight, I could not lie down to sleep because I feared I'm fainting. I feel nauseous. I get up in the morning, it's like a little spin in my head. I realize it's too tight. I'm in trouble. So when I see the chiropractor popping by, after a few times, then I said, I'm going to keep myself away from all this. Paying money just to get somebody to fix it. And then I go back to the same problem again. You know? So, this is what we do. Meditate about what you should do, what's about your life. if you don't like someone, go and put your arms around him and say, "Hi, brother." Huh? You know what I mean? I'm thinking about this quite some time, you know? About the people I don't like. I mean, because of the problem. Because what people, how people have like and do things. You know? I was thinking one day, if I should meet the person or persons, I was thinking many times, I was thinking, I just ignore him. Leave him alone. But you know what they do? They are unexpected and see the result. I was thinking, what am I going to do? You know, problem when you see Peter Trinitarian speak bad about him? Huh? Criticize it. He went up to a Trinitarian and said, "God bless my brother." He really meant it. Because his expression is real, because he doesn't hate the person. They are not his enemy. These are just religious people who were influenced by tradition. Right? Satan is working behind a person to believe a certain thing that was wrong. You know. Sincerely they were wrong, but they don't realize that. So the thing is that easy. I don't like John. Can I go up there and hug him? Am I going to hug him, really hug him and say, "Yes, brother." Or I say, "Yes, brother." You know what I mean? Put his head here and look away. "Yes, brother, how are you?" You know, I mean, God is looking at us. You know what I'm saying? I was just thinking, how do we overcome this carnality in us? Yeah, we all have a lot of failure. But you know what I always believe? I always give a thing. I say, "Lord, how are you going to do it?" But God is going to do it. You believe it, God's going to do it. You know. And you know what? The pain will not be on your side. The pain will be on the other side of the person. When you really love. What did the Bible say? When love rejects, grace takes over. Right, John? Huh? When love projects, grace takes over. You take the agape of God to do it. And God is going to do it. Because we are going to a stage right now. God is sealing. people to the truth and change the life, mold them. Not just about doctrine, but about the life, the character. Huh? All right. It's James 2:8-9. Let's go to James 2:9. But if you have respect to person, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressor. You know what is respect of person? Oh, the person is rich. The one is poor. And I don't like the one who is poor, I like the one who is rich. And when it comes to certain things, you favor the rich. Because the person is rich. Then that is wrong. You understand? As far as the family of God is concerned, whether you are poor, rich, black, white, yellow, whatever color your race may be, that's no respecter of person. I know that you have respect for, maybe I burn a lot of love for one of the children better than the other. We all have, I think that's family, huh? Out of them, you have 6 children, whatever, one of them you have, you know, favoritism. I remember that, my mother, I went to home, you know, I'm being the older one. And my mother said, everybody's equal, birthday, 1 chicken egg, I mean 2 chicken egg. You know, in those days, chicken eggs, your birthday, you take 2 chicken eggs, everybody, nobody gets more. You know. But sometimes when you come to other food, you know, when I go home, my mom says, take this, don't let anybody know. No, not the rest more. You know, it's always like that. And maybe I'm not around, maybe Brother Jimmy is at home also, my mom says, take this, but don't tell anybody else. I don't know. You know, I mean, that's fine, you know, but has come to the house of the Lord, come to God's family, let all treat each other equally. Amen. Alright. We look at Abel and Cain. Now, we know the story about that. I think this is a good example of what God is doing. You know that Cain and Abel, they were raised up under the roof of Adam. Isn't it so? They were raised under the roof of Adam. So every year passed, and Adam would do all the sacrifices and everything, and told them about the story, what happened in the garden. They all know about it, and you know. And Cain knows that he is not the son of Adam. You know, he wasn't that foolish not to know that he was not Adam's son. But Adam treated him as, because the mother is dead. Eve is the mother. She was the mother. So when it came time for sacrifice. Now that's when you see the character. Now that's why we said we have the Spirit of God in us. Like Abel have the Spirit of God in him. That's to say, so to speak. Cain did not have it. Now if we have the Spirit of God in us, so do we not do what is right? For what we have been taught? Yes. So Abel did what was right. There was no doubting about it because he saw the father did it and he was taught it. But what about Cain? He was thinking that it wasn't necessary. Blood wasn't necessary. I have plunged my vegetable and I know how to grow them and I give the best from the field. So God should be happy about it. No? But you see, without revelation, you can't please God. We need to have revelation to what is right and do what is right. Alright. Why did Cain not able to do it? Because it comes to a choice. Now when we come here today, actually to learn the Word of God. Do you know that when we take the Word of God, we believe it, do you know that we actually do not have a choice? Because if you are a child of God, you are filled with the Spirit of God. Your desire is to do it, what the Word of God said. If you don't have desire to do it in the first place, you'll be wondering, then I will be wondering, what happened to the Spirit of God in you and me? The Spirit of God is in us, is to lead us and guide us into all truth and to do it. So there is actually no choice, because that God said, this is the way, walk you in it. But he said, God, I want the other way. Then what? You're like Cain? You don't have a revelation then? Huh? Now what about this? There's no such thing as either way will do. There's only one way. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Whatever you do, do it in my name. You don't come and tell me that you can do it in the name of Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. But people want to have their own choice, then this is why you have a problem. Now remember the thing, that faith is active. Faith is not something that is passive. It's active. And you may say you have faith. Okay, now, when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, the day that you heard the gospel, the day your heart was stirred up, and you read the Bible and say, believe in the Lord Jesus and thou shalt be saved, right? Yes, believe is to have faith in Him, what He do. So when you say you put your faith in Him, you become active. You say, yes, I believe. That's your action. Next action, be baptized in the name of Jesus. Yes, I go to water baptism and get baptized. So faith is active in that you act accordingly. You act according to the word, the revelation that you receive. You cannot go contrawise. Alright, here we have Matthew 16:16. And this is, I think, a very important words that Jesus uttered. Matthew 16:16. Alright. Jesus answered Simon, thus art thou Simon, but Jonah, flesh and blood have not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Gates of hell, not just one gate. There are many gates of hell. We already taught on that. Well, try to prevail and destroy that revelation you have. But it cannot. That revelation will still be in you. You may be troubled. You may be tossed to and fro. Down in the valley one moment, deep in the miry clay. Huh? What can separate us from the love of God? Height? Death? What? Sickness? Nothing. Because it's a revelation of who Jesus Christ is. If you have that revelation, nothing can prevail against it. Nothing can change it. Is that right? I remember my cousin from the Presbyterian Church. He knows the truth about water baptism in Jesus' name. Back in those days when Brother Lingam and his family wanted to get baptized, actually I told them. I came to realize when I came to work in the hospital that night, I was late because of the rain. So when I signed in, he was in the front desk, in charge, and I was signing in. He came up to me and said, hey, gun. Of course, those days he was still an alcoholic, wasn't a believer. And he knows who I am. I talked to these people in the hospital about the gospel. And he said to me, hey, you know, I'm a Christian now. I said, really? He said, yes, I'm converted now. You know, I said, have you been baptized yet? Yeah, we're going to get baptized. I said, don't get baptized yet. Who, where do you go to church? Oh, we go to that church, Presbyterian Church. Okay, don't get baptized yet. Let me give you something to read before you do anything. Okay, so I gave him the water baptism tract, and he realized that, and yeah, I asked my cousin, who was the, second cousin, or cousin once removed. My mother is the cousin to him. And Pastor, well known, very nice. I worked with him before. And Lingam told him, he said, can you baptize us in the name of Jesus Christ? I said, why? I said, let me show you. And he said, well, I've got to ask my church board, you know, and see whether I could baptize you. And then he came back a week later and said, no, I'm sorry, I cannot baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? Because my church board says that's not our doctrine. You know, our faith is based on this statement here. So this is what we do. And I said, oh my goodness. And that was later on when my mom met him, I told my mom about him. What he rejected, man, then that's when my mom became converted to the truth. Because I made my mom to open up. All those years my mom refused to see. Until when her brother passed away, she went to the funeral, this cousin of hers were there. So they were talking about me being a minister, and they were very close together. When she came back, I told my mom about the truth about what he believed in. I said, he's a good preacher, good pastor. But when it comes to the Word of God, he knows what to do, but he don't want to do it. My mom got interested in that. You know, that's why my mom wanted to get baptized. Be baptized in Jesus' name. You know. So you see one thing? People need to know to do right, and they don't do it. Can you prevail against the revelation of who the Christ is? The Christ is not just Jesus himself. As the Christ that was the anointing, the Word of God that was in him. He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Is that right? He was the Word of God being manifest. So how can you do away with what portion of the Word? That's why I say, if you want to make the rapture, you got to take all to the Word of God. Oh yes. I wonder Tommy Hicks. Back in those days, Brother Branham, when he heard Brother Branham talk, said, well, we are not a denomination. And he cursed. Brother Branham said, curse the denomination. When Tommy Hicks came up to him and said, Brother Branham, the denomination I work for, they support me. But if I were to leave the denomination, where would I go? Who would support me? You know, and Brother Branham says, curse the denomination. He holds you. He holds a man. If you're the servant of God, you're called, you get out from it. Because God called you, God will take care of you. If denomination call you, you work for denomination and curse the denomination because you are a slave, not to Christ Jesus. You are not a prisoner to Christ Jesus. You are a prisoner to a system. You understand what I'm saying? Yes. We talk about this world is not our home because this world is a system that holds us. The spirits working in every system. Whether it's politics, whether it's religion or whatever. When he holds you, you're bound by it, and you're not free. Alright. In the Garden of Eden, you know how Satan used the serpent to deceive. And this is what we have today. Satan, you still use those five senses. And the greatest battle ever fought is always up here. Between the black dog and the white dog. But I'm not afraid. As Paul said, if there be any virtue, think of those things. Focus our mind upon the world. Because the world is full of distraction. The internet, the big screen, and the little screen that you hold in your hand every day. Yes. So we need to, that's always study to show yourself approved unto God. Study to be quiet, study to think, meditate. And as you walk in the light of God, so brother and sister, remember you're predestinated to God's promise. What is predestination? We are predestinated not unto eternal life. We are predestinated to what? Huh? What is that we are predestinated to? What is predestination? When the Bible talks about predestination, what are we predestinated to? We are predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. People think that God predestined so-and-so to heaven, so-and-so to hell. No! God chose you. But he didn't choose you to go to heaven and choose the other one to go to hell. No. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Is that right? But God knows you from the beginning of the world before you will exist. And he chose you not because you chose him. Not at all. He chose you. And when he chose you, he gave his word to you and stirred you up. And so when he chose you, what is it supposed to do to you? Huh? Not to put you into heaven. But he wants you to conform to the image of his son, Jesus Christ. That's what it is. Not just to put you in heaven. Well, so nice. Just being in jail, you're going to heaven. Nothing to conform to. You have an image to be conformed to. If you don't make that image, then what? Think about it. So we all need to have. We come to that place. He will change us and change you to meet the need. So that you might get the preeminence. You know that you pay a price? Paul paid a price. Huh? That's right. This was a prison of Christ. Nevertheless, no longer I live, but Christ lives in me. So who is the boss now between your soul and your body? Who is the boss? Huh? Your soul. You are a living soul. Is the soul quickened? If it is, who is the boss? Your soul or this body? If this body is your boss, it means still living under the five senses. Right? Isn't that true? Right. And one thing about Brother Brown preached on one sermon called The Token. I think if I'm not ready, go read it. What is the token for us today? What is the token? It is not the blood. What is the token? The token of the blood is, yes, we have salvation. But what else for us today? Today, what's the token? The Spirit. You understand what I'm saying? Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. That's one thing. But unless the token, the Spirit comes and gives that life, make it real, move you and shape you to the image of His Son, we are not going to make it. That's why people say, yeah, I'm glad I'm a Christian. You know, it's one thing to repent. That's what Paul said. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? When the token is come, you will live the life as it should be. You will say, all I have heard, now I see. Right. Alright, let me go to a few more points. So, do you have the understanding of, have you the revelation as to the mystery of His purpose? The mystery of His purpose, first of all, is that we are His workmanship. Remember this. It is God working a work in your life. It is not you doing a work for God. It is not you trying to work your way to the rapture. No matter how hard you try, you won't make it. Because it is God Himself who give you His Spirit and His work in your life, and all you have to do is believe. And when you believe, when He shows you something, you see it, you do it. You obey. You follow through. I think it's very that simple. Huh? Because God already prepared us even before the foundation of the world. The preparation was already done by God. We are to be seed, and we become seed. Because we receive this word of life quickened. So our spirit is alive. Now He's molding us to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's why Paul said, let us go on to perfection. From glory to glory. morphing in every everyday of life to become like a butterfly. Colossians 1. Let's close with this verse. Colossians 1. Colossians chapter 1 verse 15 to 29. Verse 14 really. To whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Who is the image of the invisible God? The firstborn of every creature. For in him, not by him, the word should be in him. Okay? It's precision. It's not by. It's in. In the Greek word is in. So it's the precision. In him. The precision. For in him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth. Visible, invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominion or principality or powers, all things were created through him and not by him. And for him, and he is before all things, and in him, not by him again. This is a bad translation. And in him all things consist. You also remember by in him, his position. In him is the position, everything, the authority that is in him. Okay, not by him. Alright. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in him all things, there you are, in all things he might have the preeminence. And it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether there be things in earth or things in heaven, and you, that were sometime alienated and enemy in your mind by wicked works, yet now have he reconciled in the body of his flesh to death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereby I, Paul, am make a minister who now rejoice in my sufferings for you. That is Paul's sacrifice. And fill up that which is behind all the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Whereof I am make a minister according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God. That is Paul. Okay? According to the dispensation, he was put in that age. Now, according to God's dispensation, we are in this age. And I think this is a better age to live in than any other age. You understand? Okay? We didn't go through the First World War, Second World War, which is an age that I think is not good even in Singapore. You know? Alright? Even the mystery which have been hid from the ages and from generation but now is made known to his saints, to whom God have made known what is the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The fullness of God, Christ the Word in us. That's why we need the whole book. You want to make it into the blessed hope? This is what we need to. The whole book. Whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, not some. That we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Well, I also labor striving according to his working, which work in me mightily. So the faith of yesteryear and the faith of today is totally two different kinds. In this age, More faith is required of us than it was in the days of Luther, than it was in the days of John Wesley, or in the Pentecostal age. But this is the age, as we get higher to the, closer to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are expected to live that, the life. Okay? So, we all know that as God promised it, there will be a selected but designated group of people that will fulfill what God promised. To fulfill the mystery of His purpose for the people, be conformed to the image of His Son, to be taken up, not in death, but as a living saint, transformed to meet the Lord Jesus Christ in the air. And I believe every one of us is looking into it. So all we have to do, yield ourselves. Amen? Let us stand. Father in heaven, thank you for your word, Lord, of truth, and commit this message to your hand, Lord. Bless your children as they learn to walk in your word. And as that Spirit, O Lord, lives in each and every one of those that are yours, we know, Father, you chastise each and every one and mold them and make them to conform to the image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for your promise. So let our faith, O Lord, be simple, just to believe that you said it, you will fulfill it, and no matter what, Father, you'll bring about your promise to pass. Even though if your children start struggling, Lord, you will do something, Father. They will come to the place of quiet rest in their bosom to know that you are the Lord and that we are the clay and you are the potter, and we have to yield to your hand, that you will mold and shape us, O Father, to the image of your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, for the great day that is coming. So, Father, we come in and thank you, Lord, for all that which you are doing in our life. And may we walk in the life and in the grace and the love and mercy of God and the great agape, especially, Father. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you.